Moet ik gewoon verder gaan of knip je er dingen uit? Oké, helemaal.
It is April 30 and this is the LACA Foundation office, and we have a guest from Australia, Talia van der Boogaard, and she will introduce herself.
Thank you. I'm Talia. I'm the CEO of the Gunjeikmi Aboriginal Corporation, and the corporation was set up by the Mirra, whose traditional lands Djebaru and the Ranger Mine and Djebaru Kalise are set upon. And we represent the rights and interests of the Mirra.
And the Jabaluka and the Ranger are uranium mines, or proposed uranium mines?
Yes. In the 1970s, the government imposed the Ranger uranium mine on the Mirra and built it on their land. And it's been operational for over 40 years. It ceased operations in 2021. And since then, the company that is responsible for the mining energy resources of Australia has been tasked with rehabilitating the mine to the standards that it can be reincorporated into the Kakadu National Park. But it is to a scale that has never been done before. So we're unsure if that will actually happen. The timeline that they originally set has been blown out. They were meant to finish on the 9th of January 2026. It's now 2024 and they are still many, many years away from actually finishing. On top of that, they're in financial trouble. As of the 31st of December 2023, they had roughly just over 700 million, of which only 216 is in their bank. The rest is with the Australian government in a fund. So they have no money to operate past September this year. They're majority owned by Rio Tinto, and they've now taken over management of the rehabilitation at Ranger Mine, but we still don't know if Rio Tinto is going to foot the bill if or when ERA goes out of business and goes broke.
And what are the expected costs of the rehabilitation?
They are now $2.4 billion, but probably more than that.
Australian dollar, and Australian dollars is compared to, for instance, the euro?
So I would say it would be maybe 1.7 billion in euros.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the relationship between the Gunjeikmi Aboriginal Corporation and the Mirra?
So when the mine was originally set up, they needed a corporation that was responsible for holding the royalties that the mine gave to the Mirra, who are the traditional owners of the land. That was a different corporation at first, and many different TOs were members of it. And then the Mirra said, this is our country, it should go to us. So they established Gunjeikmi, which looks after just the Mirra. So they have a few estates. Some are in the national park. Ranger is one of them, and the other one is Jabaluka that still has the mineral lease over it.
And the mineral lease for Jabaluka ends on August
11th. Yes. It ends on August 11th. ERA has now applied for an extension of that lease for another 10 years, but Jabaluka is the site of cultural significance to the Mirra. There's lots of Jung, they call it, dreaming ancestral beings. It's also the site of Majibebe, the oldest human occupation site in Australia, 65,000 years old. There's many rock paintings there, there's many burials. The world's oldest axe has been found there. So the Mirra have always said, when this 40-year lease ends, we want to incorporate Jabaluka in the national park, where it'll be protected from mining indefinitely.
And there is a 40-year lease, and I can remember large-scale campaigns in the 1990s when there was a danger of a Jabaluka really becoming a uranium mine. What is the situation in Australia regarding awareness of the situation?
There's lots of activist movements in Australia that work with us, that we have connections with, that are also opposed to the uranium mining. There's many people that would stage another campaign, but we prefer not to go there. It was a massive effort 25 years ago, and it was successful in that the exploratory mining ended, and they had to close up the tunnel and rehabilitate that part of Jabiluka as well, which is still not quite completed, but it's a lot closer than Ranger is. So we just need the governments, the Northern Territory government and the Australian government, to make a decision on the extension of the lease and preferably deny it so that we can then put it in the national park.
And there's a small pro-nuclear group pushing for nuclear in Australia, the We Planet group. Do you think they are also pushing for uranium mining, or are that two separate things?
To mine at Jabiluka?
Yeah.
ERA, the company, has said they will never mine Jabiluka. There's a long-term care and maintenance agreement that gives the Mirai a veto right on Jabiluka.
Why do they want to expand the lease then?
We think because it is so they can potentially do a capital raise and get more money from their shareholders. They say that the lease is the best way to protect the cultural heritage of the Mirai. We say that you don't need a mining lease to never mine and to protect cultural heritage, and that it's the prerogative of the Mirai to decide how they protect their own cultural heritage, and they want it in the park. Extending the lease has the risk that if ERA does go broke, an administrator comes in who will sell off the deposit, and then anybody could buy it and start a mine.
There is a new government in Australia. It is less conservative as the last government. Last government, it was totally concentrating on coal mining. Coal mining was the future. What is the new government that is more critical against coal mining? Does that have consequences for the uranium mining?
This government, the Australian federal government, is more supportive of closing the Jabiluka lease and putting it in the park. But in a way, the decision lies with the Northern Territory government, who gets a lot of pressure from other groups and ERA and the minority shareholders. So we just need to put enough pressure on the Australian government to give advice to not accept the extension, and then the Northern Territory government will basically have to follow and take that. So we are lucky with these governments, but it's very close to the elections for the Northern Territory, and if they go into caretaker mode and they haven't made a decision, 11th of August will come and nothing will happen, which will automatically extend the lease indefinitely.
Okay.
Which is why we have pushed them to make a decision. The Northern Territory government has said the Friday, the 19th of April, we met with the Chief Minister and the Mining Minister, and they said that they will support the Mirai, and that that's the most important thing. So we hope that they will stick to their word and make that decision that we need.
And you said that in the 1990s there were many actions and campaigns against the proposed Jabiluka, mm. And you do prefer not to go that way again.
Mm.
Is that's a tactical question, but why? does radical actions lose sympathy or?
Not at all. I think it's just a question of it would be an epic effort. It would require many people to mobilize.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a matter of that we would lose sympathy. I think we would gain a lot of sympathy and everybody would be ready again. But, you know, the ladies that campaigned 25 years ago are now 65 and old and have had enough and are telling the government, we have been sitting here for 40 years telling you the same thing. You need to listen to us. You know, they don't have the energy to sit down for weeks on end in the dirt, in the heat.
No.
So.
And there's no next generation who are willing to...
There is a next generation, but it's considerably smaller because of the way that the system works and who you are becoming a clan. There's a smaller, younger generation.
I have a question for the people who are slightly less informed about the situation, like me. like, how many mines are there in Australia, and is there a difference in within this mine? And what are the actual problems of the uranium mine?
I'm not sure how many mines there are in Australia. A lot, many different ones. I know most about the two mines that are in the national park, both uranium. There was a third one, but it got closed as well. He went to Paris and lobbied at the UNESCO World Heritage. The biggest problem at the Ranger mine is now that they have to rehabilitate it. It is such a massive job that by the time they finished and have paid for it, it won't have been a profitable operation anymore. They value Jabiluka at 900 million. That's less than what it's going to cost to clean it up. And then you haven't even cleaned up Jabiluka yet if you put a mine there. So there's so much pollution. There have been so many leaks and spills of contaminated water into the park. People are eternally scared of the dust flying over. Those are the biggest problems.
Australia had a very long three-mine policy in the 70s or 80s, I think. But that's, I'm not sure, but that's gone then, a three-uranium mine policy?
Yes, the legislation changed, and I haven't been in Australia long enough to know all the details about it. But yeah, if our in-house lawyer was here, she would probably talk for half an hour about that and the legislation, which is fascinating, but it's not, I don't have all that knowledge in my head.
The mine, is it important for the local economy, for that people have jobs and work and stuff like that? And what is the size of the mines? How big they are?
The Ranger mine is big. It had two massive pits that they dug. One has been rehabilitated or started rehabilitation. The other one they're still draining with poisonous water before they will eventually fill it up and plant trees on it. Jabiru was built for the mine. It was built with the intention to knock it down when the mine ceased to operate. But by now there's so many people living there that that's not going to happen. And Jabiru wants to become more of a tourism town because it's in the middle of the park. It's the spot where the tourists come before they venture out into the park. So yes, there is a camp of the mine still there, but the amount of mine workers is considerably less than what it was, and most of the residents of Jabiru have other jobs, people that work for us, people that work for the council, the school, the hotels, the caravan parks, the shops. So it's not no longer dependent on the mine. It can become a tourism town, and that's where it wants to go.
And what would you prefer asking us to do? In pressure on the government to stop the lease?
Well, we've asked the European Parliament to renew this statement, the resolution they made in 1989. Anything like that would be of help, something that we can show to the government that, you know, this is an issue that other countries and other parts of the world do have an interest in and would be prepared to, if we had to go down the line of a campaign, would back us up in that, because I think that's the kind of publicity that will put pressure on the government that they take seriously.
And maybe we can do some awareness in the Netherlands or even Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But summer is coming, and we don't have much time, so it will. We have to deal with that. But,
are there examples that Rio Tinto Zinc made something good after the mining stopped? Because Rio Tinto Zinc is active worldwide in Namibia and so on, and I never heard that Rio Tinto Zinc did something good, but perhaps you know examples that we can expect something positive from Rio Tinto?
We have much more faith in Rio Tinto after the Juukan Gorge disaster, which is now I think 4 or 5 years ago. Juukan Gorge, they have a mine in West Australia, and they blew up a sacred site, a sacred cave. That was a massive blow to their image. So they are keen to have a good reputation and never do that again. So they actively have been working with us. They have taken Jabiluka off their balance sheet as an asset because they will never mine it, which is a positive sign. Now that they've taken over rehabilitation at Ranger, we feel there's more expertise there to at least have a chance of finishing the job properly. They've been very open and honest with us so far. So the Mirror have more faith in them than they do in ERA. So we hope that they will do something good and they'll come through. If ERA folds, they will step in. That's what we hope they will do. Yeah.
Okay.
What was the you said the European Parliament signed a declaration something in the 70s?
Yeah.
What was it about and why did they sign this, and would you hope for something similar like that declaration?
We asked them to sign it in the 90s when we were campaigning against Jabiluka. And that resolution called on the Human Rights Commission to draw up an independent study into the impact of uranium mining and processing on the human rights of the indigenous people in the country of origin. And it called on member states to ban all imports of uranium from mines where the rights of indigenous people are being compromised.
Mm.
So we've asked them to perhaps make a renewed version of that.
Mm. And I see that on this document you stated, let them know the world is watching. How can people let the world know? How can people know from around the world that they are watching? Where can they go to?
I think they mean like, you know, statements, articles, things that come on the radio, on the television. Whenever we do anything, we post it on social media. The activist groups we work with put it out to their network. So in that way, it has quite a wide range in the areas that it needs to reach.
How can we find you on social media?
I will give you the links to our social media networks, and you can hopefully join them.
Okay. Are you hopeful about what's going to happen?
I'm hopeful that finally, after this many years, the Mirai will get what they deserve. But I don't think any of the governments have a great track record, so it remains to be seen whether they will keep their word or they are too scared and make the decision to do nothing, which will mean they extend the lease by default.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest worry.
Earlier in this talk, you said that people are afraid from dust. Can you tell something more about pollution effects of the mining in that area?
Now that they're draining pit 3, the sand and the bottom become drier, and so when the winds come through, you can see the dust fly over. They try and suppress the dust with water, but still, the answer eternally is no, it's fine, you don't have to worry about your health. But that's a big statement coming from a, you know, previously active uranium mine. The biggest concern is the water pollution. There's always leaks, things get spilled, and then the waterways in the park are actually so clean, it's cleaner than the drinking water that we get out of the tap. So it doesn't take too much pollution to change the consistency of the waterway, and the Mirai worry about everything from the big fish, but also the really tiny little river shrimp and little algae and stuff like that, and they will suffer, and we might not instantly see, but the damage may have been done.
And that pollution, that is not only radioactive uranium pollution, or also other heavy metals?
Yes, there's lots of them. I can't name them all, but it's not necessarily uranium. It could be salts or other things that leak out of the water once it's been treated, but still not good for the environment.
And radon pollution in uranium mining, there's radon gets free.
Radon.
What?
Radon.
Radon gets free with uranium mining. Can you measure that in the air?
I don't think it gets measured in the air. We have the supervising scientists. They're an organization that are in charge of the rehabilitation. So they're the ones that know all the details about what they measure and how high it is. We get reports, but I don't know all those statistics at the top of my head.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.